Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Naked Songwriter, Astrologer, blah, blah, blah. That's me. King, blah, blah, blah. I'm a minor king. And if I may start out today, people, by quoting from the book of St. Anthony, I will say, you make a sound. The spell is bound to come around. He knows everything. It's just a minor thing, and I'm a minor king. He knows everything. Yeah, man. It's no secret. I love me some Anthony Kiedis. That's minor thing. Yes, minor thing from the great, by the way, album. Anyway, by the way, right, we're going to talk about the Leo lunar eclipse that is happening later tonight. Sometime tomorrow, depending on your time zone. It's January 31st at around 8:30 in the morning, Eastern Time, USA. Check your local listings. I think that those of you further to the west of me, or to the left, as I like to think of it, although I'm pretty far left, so, you know, where does that put you? I think you guys are going to get to see the whole thing. I can't remember, but pretty cool. It's a blood moon in the morning, early morning hours. It's a super moon. That means the moon is closest to the Earth in her orbital path. It's a total eclipse. yeah, you know what I'm thinking there. But yeah, it is. It's a total eclipse. It's kind of a bookend to the August 21st eclipse. The famous total solar eclipse that was visible in the western United States and maybe some other places, can't remember. So, you know, of course, I'm wondering what's going on with Mr. Trump, who I just found out is giving his State of the Union address tonight, timed with the eclipse. He's either got a really, really good astrologer or just some total hack. Oh. He probably has a really good astrologer, but he only occasionally listens to him. That would be my guess, because he does, you know, he's skated through some stuff that it would have brought a man with a lesser astrologer to his knees, you know. Maybe it's, who knows, maybe it's Melania, maybe Ivana turned him on to someone years ago. But it's really interesting how this eclipse hits his chart. So I'll talk about that in a bit. And just, you know, it's been a tough start of the year for a lot of us. So especially the psychics, empaths, psychically sensitive, highly sensitive persons like myself, we've been feeling it big time. The kids have been feeling it, you know. So some of you with sensitive kids have been noticing that your kids are like breaking down, crying for no reason. And this isn't just since the start of the year. I definitely saw that in December as well. But this is kind of the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning. You know, we're going into another eclipse in 2 weeks, which is in Aquarius. It's a solar eclipse. It's also Chinese New Year. And I don't know about you, but I've definitely felt the energy starting to come up after the Capricorn overdose of like six planets in Capricorn at the start of the year. So, you know, I I'm very optimistic about this eclipse, even though it could destroy my life because of where it hits in my chart. But it will be a good destruction, I see. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on with the eclipse and what you can expect from it quite potentially. And I want to talk about some of the degree symbols that are involved. And then we'll talk about how this eclipse shows up in the chart of President Donald Trump. President Donald Trump. President Donald Trump. Ha, I'm just messing with you. That wasn't really the NSA. Okay, so you guys are cracking me up today. Can I tell you that? It's good to have my sense of humor back. Dude, I was going through it in January, man. Just getting hammered with the outer planet juju, especially Saturn, man, you know. And I try to talk nice about Saturn these days because I want to get him on my side. Although I had this, my partner's like, you know, Saturn just, he doesn't like it when you make fun of him. I'm like, why? He doesn't care. He just wants me to do the work. Well, he pretends not to care, but he really does. And I started thinking about that. And I'm like, you know, it's part of a fundamental shift. So this eclipse hits right on my ascendant. And, you know, so those major changes coming in some way. Whenever you get a total eclipse and it just bangs on a point in your chart. So anybody with, you know, your sun, moon, ascendant, another key point in your chart, somewhere, say, between 9 and 15 or 16 degrees of the fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, you're definitely going to be feeling this one and expect some changes. But again, I think it's largely positive. But it got me thinking about, you know, a shift that I feel like I need to make, and probably the rest of us too, which is like, hey, man, if we treat the planets as people, you know, archetypes, right? So they're not physical flesh and blood people, don't get me wrong. But they're beings, right? Their intelligences, their concatenations of energy that have thematic coherency. Roughly and probably, I'm butchering Richard Tarnas there. Not the man, but his work. But, you know, if we take that as a given, and that's how we're relating to life, which if you follow astrology to any degree, you know, at all, you are, whether you realize it or not, because that's what you're dealing with. You're not just dealing with the celestial bodies of gas and stone or whatever out in the sky. Then, you know, it's not really far-fetched to think like, hey, sometimes the planets probably need help. You know, it's like we're asking the planets to like, hey, you know, bring my love of my life, like free me from these horrible circumstances. At least I do. Like, come on, Jupiter, I'm going to fire you again if you don't come through for me with some good luck, you know? So it actually makes sense, right, that if they're beings, that they suffer too, you know, and they have their challenges. And so I was thinking about Venus because Venus has been, you know, Venus is like, she's my goddess, man. She just rocks my world, the beauty, the creativity, the art. That's what I live for. It's what brings me joy, makes me happy. And love, you know, come on, Venus has all the good stuff, right? Love, sex, money, you know, there's some money in there. There's some beauty. There's things that taste and feel and smell good. So what's not to like, right? But as I was connecting with Venus and, you know, saying, hey, baby, remember that whole like you're rich thing from the August eclipse? Yeah, just checking in with you. You know, I'm definitely richer. My soul is rich, baby. But you know, the start of this year has been a little rough in some ways. And then I realized, like thinking about Saturn maybe wanting a little bit of love and you know us to be nice to him, even though he would never admit it. It's like the cranky old man next door. You know, get off my lawn. But he really just needs a little love and for you to stay off the lawn. But I realized Venus is she's behind the sun now. So she just made her superior conjunction, which is like from our point of view, she's hidden by the sun. And this is often thought of as the rebirth moment in the 19-month Venus cycle. So, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, she probably really can't help me because she's kind of busy, man. She's going through, you know, her version of an ayahuasca ceremony or something. So I need to send her some love, basically. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on all of that, but let's talk about the eclipse. That's me pulling up the charts here. Okay, so give you the details. It's January 31st, 2018 at 8:26 a.m. East Coast time, USA. The moon is at 11.5 degrees of Leo, which means the sun is at 11.5 degrees of Aquarius. The nodes, and by definition, when we have an eclipse, the sun and moon are conjunct slash opposite the lunar nodes. The nodes are in 15 degrees Leo, Aquarius, and change, so the 16th degree of Leo and Aquarius, and Venus is at 16 Aquarius and 56 arc minutes. So it's right on the verge of going into 17 degrees, which would be the 18th degree in ordinal numbers. So the couple outstanding features of this eclipse, I mean, I think the biggest one is that, you know, first of all, it's an eclipse that involves Venus, so that's cool, whether, you know, even though she's doing her rebirth thing. It's definitely going to show us some manifestation, some culmination. You know, lunar eclipse is going to bring lunar type energies up from the unconscious or the subconscious and bring them out into the open. The moon is also one of the main archetypes of manifestation and growth in the material world. So think moon, mother, childbirth as a really simple way of tuning into that. So, you know, there's a chance that we will see, and especially for those of you, if this hits directly in your chart, that you're going to see something come to fruition, something become manifest in the world. And that could be an emotional realization. It could be, you know, a change of heart or realizing where your heart is, where your soul stands on an issue or circumstance or relationship, you know, that you've been trying to puzzle out. You know, where, depending on which houses it falls in the chart. So moon in the second house, you know, if this eclipse falls in your second house, it could bring a big sum of money. It could also bring a large bill. We hope that it's not the latter, but, it's going to bring something, you know, to fruition. You're going to notice changes happening basically. So, with Venus there in Aquarius, opposite the eclipse, you know, we're going to hope that that, really those of us who are aligned with the Aquarian conspiracy, the Aquarian, you know, energies in the world, that should bring us more opportunities to connect with like-minded people and to benefit in that way. But the other, big thing that this eclipse has that's really remarkable is the moon. So the moon is at 11 degrees, 37 arc minutes of Leo at the eclipse, and Ceres, who is now a minor planet, you will remember, so equal stature with good old friend Pluto, who was so active in January. Ceres is at 11 degrees and 35 arc minutes, so that's 2/60ths of a degree, which is very, very close. Now, my take on Ceres is that, and I've been working with Ceres in charts for a while now, and I still feel that I don't understand her, but I also feel that most other astrologers don't understand her also. So if you're an astrologer out there and you really understand Ceres, please post a comment, you know, on the podcast page or on Facebook, so that you can enlighten us or just give us more perspectives, because I feel like most of what I read about Ceres, it's very surfacey. It's like, oh, Ceres is represents mothering, but kind of detached mothering. So it's like the moon, but it's not. I did see a post that was interesting, I think on Astrology King, that was talking about Ceres as single mothers or single parents, or the parent who does the most nurturing in a dysfunctional relationship. And that sort of resonated with me. Ceres also definitely, in my experience, relates to things like food security, healthy food, you know, poisoned food supplies. So there's a lot of that going on right now, obviously. But so I don't know how Ceres is going to really show up in this. I also would say, from, you know, looking at her in a lot of client charts over the years, that Ceres isn't necessarily like, you know, we think, oh, she's like a mother, but detached mother. Well, that sounds good. She doesn't necessarily show up as easy. In fact, I think she has more in common with Pluto than, you know, most observers would probably like to think. So a lot of times she will show up, you know, if she's really central in a chart, it will be somebody who's really suffered from the mother dying, or growing up with a single parent and, you know, having health issues, or growing up in an area where there were, you know, like toxins in the food supply, toxins in the water. She can show up as a marker for abortion, being orphaned. And so, you know, these aren't really like pretty, happy, shiny, happy things that we want to tune into. Well, with the moon in Leo, you know, Ceres in Leo is going to take on the qualities of Leo to the extent that that archetype supports the qualities of Leo. So I would see this as wherever Leo is in your chart, there's going to be some kind of righteous indignation, some sense of, you know, wow, I am entitled to this or that, you know. So whether it's more autonomy in your relationship, whether it's, you know, being treated better, a big Leo theme, you got to respect me. You got to, I'm the king, I'm the queen. Give me my due, right? It could be in a more transpersonal sense that, you know, you become really aware of, just say you'd never realized that these large corporations are systematically poisoning the food supply on the entire planet to the extent that they can. You know, you might become really aware of that and kind of get on your high horse and ride off into battle. So, you know, a lot of different ways this could show up, but you know, one of the things with Leo Aquarius is that we're always talking about, with Leo, you know, being able to own who we are and being able to be in a comfortable relationship with the self. And, most of us, you know, didn't get the sort of necessary reinforcement for that as children. And so that's a lifelong battle, you know, to figure out who am I as a self and what does it mean to be myself and what do I have to do in order to get some love and get some money and, you know, be able to be where I want to be with the people I want to be doing what I want to do. So in Aquarius, the opposite sign of Leo, Aquarius is the relationship of the self to the tribe or to the community or to the group. And, you know, Leo, fiery, creative, inspirational, can be hot tempered, you know, just high energy fire stuff. And then Aquarius is like, you know, it's just air, it's mental, it's universal air. It tends to not be so emotional, tends to want to look at everything in terms of a framework and how things fit into the universal framework. So, you know, that those are some of the themes that you want to look for is that the moon Ceres in Leo, is going to bring a sense of where am I not getting to be myself and who or what can nurture me, can support me. You know, so it's almost like an activation of the internal mother or the earth mother within each of us so that I can be myself so that then I can, you know, find my tribe or like fit into my tribe in a better way. And, you know, then my creativity, my self-expression, it supports my tribe, it supports my community, but it also enables them to support me, you know? So there's a lot of cool stuff going on here. And I would definitely look back, I'm going to give you a couple dates. So definitely look back to the August 21st total solar eclipse, because whatever intentions you set there or whatever parts of the self that you, you know, ritually let go of, in order to become more of your capital S self, your divine self, you're going to see some manifestations from that. And if you don't see them today or tomorrow, you know, you might have already seen them a month ago, exactly when the moon was in the same position, or a month forward. So Susan Miller of Astrology Zone taught me that sometimes eclipses, you know, show up a month earlier or a month later. But this is a powerful one, I think, for most of us within, you know, the next few days. We're going to really be able to see like, oh, okay, you know, my intentions are bearing fruit and I really have made some positive changes in that direction. So the John Sandbach's Chandra symbols and Omega symbols are really interesting in this regard. And so just as a little bit of background, he's an Australian astrologer, metaphysician, healer. And I just discovered his degree symbols sort of obliquely through Lorna Bevan, who does Hair in the Moon astrology, and who I think is the best astrologer writing right now. I mean, she's just on fire. But so I, through her, I kind of tracked down Sandbach, and I've been tuning into his symbols. And so these are symbols for each of the 360 degrees of the zodiac. They're not related to the eclipse. So they're just, they're there all the time. And they're not the only set of degree symbols. There's obviously the Sabian symbols, and there's so many degree systems. So, you know, find what works for you. But I think Sandbach's take is really interesting, and he always comes from as positive a place as possible, which I appreciate. And let me just pull this up so I can see it a little better. Okay, so Sandbach's Omega symbol for the 12th degree of Leo, which is where the moon and Ceres are conjunct at the eclipse, is in the basement of a house, a secret escape tunnel. When you grow tired of playing a particular role in life, you need a way out of it so that you may escape into the freedom of your eternal self. When you do so, you find new strength and energy that you can bring back with you to enrich yourself in the world. You can be a master of creative escapism used therapeutically. And then, some of the interpretation that he gives for the Chandra symbol, which is a different symbol that he also channeled in. If you do not give up your ego with its limitations, you will suffer. But if you can let yourself be expansive, generous, and in rapport with creative intelligence, you will find bliss. It simply requires faith in the workings of the universe and confidence in your ability to link to those workings. That feels really appropriate to me for where a lot of us are at right now. You know, is that, and I feel like this eclipse, these Leo Aquarius eclipses, and this is potentially because I have a Leo ascendant, so I'm viewing it through the lens of my own life, but they really seem, you know, and I think this is consistent with the Leo Aquarius mythology. They seem to be demanding of us that we sacrifice the ego self, which for most of us, you know, I think, at least, you know, if you're raised in any kind of puritanical, restrictive, fear-based environment, we tend to think like that means I have to give up all the things that I like, all the things that just enable me to hang on and stay here and be somewhat viable. And I really think that, you know, it's the opposite. It's like we need to give up playing small. We need to give up, you know, feeling like a loser and just feeling like we have no power and always downplaying what we're great at. So, speaking of which, you should check out my video that I posted. It's like 13 minutes long. I realize that, but just put on some headphones and sink back into some sonic bliss because I was rocking it as I'm testing out my live show. So it's called Ignition into Mr. Fantasy. It's on my website, but you know, I'm not going to play small about that one because honestly, like I've been listening to that repeatedly because I'm just like, wow, how did that happen? You know, it's like, I didn't even know I could do some of that stuff. So, yeah, I think that's the key for all of us is like, hey, let's step up. Let's support ourselves. Let's find that, you know, the inner nurturing that enables us to go out and do really good work in the world. The North Node, which is in Leo, it's in the 16th degree. The symbol for that is Omega symbol is an angel appears to lost travelers and shows them the right direction. And interestingly enough, and I did not read this until I didn't read this part until right now. The degree angel is Mahiel. And I don't understand the degree angels exactly, but the meaning of it is casting yourself in a favorable light, invigoration, enlightenment. So there you go. You have the ability to find your way to goals by listening to your inner voice, and you are sensitive to the omens and portents you find along the way. You're at your best when you take spontaneous actions and then find your way as you go. You're aware of stuck places in other people, often when they themselves aren't, and you know how to overcome these or at least loosen them up so that more life energy can come through. The Chandra symbol for this degree is a red-faced man, tears running down his cheeks. He is laughing convulsively. This is a symbol of startling realizations that come so suddenly or unexpectedly that they shock the being into a release of pent-up energy. When the time is ripe, clearings and openings happen spontaneously, and they can be a great joy. All that is required is patience and receptivity, and most especially a letting down of the barriers that limiting expectations create. So I feel like that's, you know, very similar in theme, in the sense that letting down of the barriers of limiting expectations, that's the false self. That's the you know, the negative ego. Is it's got all these preconceptions based on, you know, its belief in suffering and punishment, and that's reinforced by the inner child who has really experienced that suffering and lack and limitation and punishment. And the challenge and the opportunity of this eclipse is these startling realizations that come through. So be open to that, you know, just be open to, and, you know, there's so many techniques that we can just do in a short time to really open to those startling realizations. I mean, you know, eating with your left hand if you're right-handed, you know, turning the lights off when it's dark one night instead of, you know, just kind of continuing as if the sun hadn't disappeared below the horizon. You know, getting dressed with the opposite hand. I don't know. It's just like breaking up your routine, you know, introducing some discontinuity, and then trying to forget about that realization, because if you're looking for it, it has a way of hiding on you, as you know. Okay. Real quick then, where Venus is, and I'm looking at, Sandbach's symbols for both the 17th and 18th degrees of Aquarius, because Venus is in the 17th technically, but she's within 5 arc minutes of the 18th and moving forward in direct motion. So I kind of felt like both of these were applicable. The 17th degree of Aquarius, in the distance, a smoldering mountain. The degree angel refers to removing hatred, helps to remove obstacles and impediments, and to live in a universe without boundaries. That sounds nice. And let's see. And the Aquarius, the 18th degree, is a cloud in the middle of an empty sky has lost its way. The degree angel defeats frustration, despair, and depression. So most of us could use a little help from that degree angel right now. And it says this degree is aware of how so many problems are caused by the self being in the way of itself. The solution to this problem is to let go of the self, meaning to let go of biases, taken for granted assumptions, and all agendas. It is like hitting the reboot button on a computer. The self vanishes for a moment, and what reappears is a fresh light and a new sense of direction and clarity. So, you know, in the Book of Spells group that Safia, my colleague, and I have been working with, we really have been tuned into that, you know, letting go of those biases, letting go of the old story. And just, it's like, I don't want to say it's hard. I don't want to put that out there as a prophecy, but, you know, it has been hard for most of us who have been doing it, because it's just ingrained into the operating system or the routine, you know, to have those biases, to look at the world through the lens of limitation. And this is what always happens. And I never get to, or, you know, people never, the world never, you can never, you know, all of these assumptions that are sort of built in from parental voices and ancestral energies and our childhood experiences. And what we found are like two things that seem to be really, really powerful. One, just seeing if you can see in any moment, the micro story that's going on. So you're brushing your teeth and you're thinking about that conversation you just had with your partner, and, you know, man, I wish he wouldn't have said that. She always blah, blah, blah. And if you can just see that and be like, oh, okay, that's a story. Let me see. Oh yeah, I can see why I have that story. That's my mom and dad, right? And just seeing it enables you to say, okay, I'm calling, you know, a timeout on that story. How could I just experience this moment of brushing my teeth without that story? So now you've opened to beyond the false self, and you've opened to a new energy coming in. And then the other thing that we've, so I know that doesn't sound like a big deal, but if you do it a few times in a row, you just wake, you're in a different reality, you know, because now you're able to be more of a co-creator and put the story that you want into the world rather than this old story that you manifestly don't want. The other thing we found is just connecting with people that you can trust to meet you on this level and hold space for you. And sometimes it's just a phone call with a friend of being able to say, wow, I'm really stuck in this energy of just feeling resentful or just feeling like, you know, no matter what I do, it never works. It's never enough. And, you know, a friend that can reflect back to you, wow, you're stuck in that moment. Yeah, I know what that feels like. Hey, you know, so let's just hang out and talk. It's just making that connection with one another. And I think that's the journey from Leo to Aquarius. Is so powerful in opening space, you know, numinous space where new energies can come in, the energies that we want, and we can experience the authentic self. So I feel like that's a lot of what the promise is for this eclipse. Real quickly, I just want to mention, and I'll put a couple of these charts on the podcast page, but when I read the first line of the Leo 12 moon, where the moon and Ceres are at the eclipse, I just immediately thought of President Trump. When you grow tired of playing a particular role in life, you need a way out of it so that you may escape into the freedom of your eternal self. That's what I think. I think he's tired. I think he's tired of playing this role. And so I was looking at what's going on in his chart. Because in my Trump astrology class, the more I tuned into all the cycles at play, I just felt like, you know, February is the date. It's the end or the beginning of the end of his presidency. So, you know, who knows with this stuff. The guy is amazing, really resilient. But as I was looking at what's going on in his chart, I noticed that in his progress chart, his progressed moon is exactly conjunct a quarter of a degree. It's in the same degree, so it's partile, which is considered to be really strong conjunction in astrology, with his natal Pluto in the 12th house. The 12th house of hidden things, of self-undoing, of secret enemies or hidden enemies. And, you know, so moon Pluto, that's a dark kind of energy, and especially in the 12th house. And then when I heard he was giving the State of the Union address tonight, I'm like, man, I can totally see him blurting something out, going off the reservation, going off script, and just blurting something out that, you know, just kind of leaves everybody speechless because it's so egregious. It's so like such an, you know, one of the things that I find kind of lovable about our current president is that he's always telling on himself, you know, while he's trying to attack somebody else or put somebody else down. He always like tells on himself. And I was just had the thought, like, what if he does that? What if he just like opens his mouth and, you know, one part of the truth comes out that's so shocking that, you know, even Republicans can't pretend he didn't say that or twist it into meaning something else. But, you know, I think on a deeper level, just like, your progressed moon, we could say it probably moves about a degree every month. So it's been hanging, you know, it's been building up to this Pluto conjunction with his natal Pluto for the last 6 months. And it's going to be still in range for the next 3 months or so. And I just feel like there's this really kind of deep emotional fatigue there are things pulling on him. And, you know, this could be Russia. It could be some of the, you know, the scandals that, I don't want to say scandals, but I know that he has been compromised in some way that he doesn't want to come out. You know, I believe that he was tricked or trapped into something a while back. And that's probably the subject for another podcast. But so there's this really kind of energy weighing on him. And then with the eclipse hitting just a degree and a half from that moon Pluto conjunction that's going on in his personal charts, you know, this is really going to trigger that whatever's going on in that 12th house hidden thing, self-undoing energy there. Also, it's opposite his natal Ceres, in Aquarius in the sixth house, which I, as soon as I saw that, because, you know, it's like you can't tune into everything at the same time when you're looking at someone's chart. And I hadn't really paid that much attention to Ceres before, but I'm like, wait a minute, Ceres in Aquarius, sixth house. Oh, let's see, working in reality TV, but somehow he's kind of like a, you know, dispassionate nurturer. Well, I mean, definitely he made a lot of money for a lot of people, right? But also he's nurturing the women's movement. He's nurturing, like, you know, this rise of the feminine just by being himself. So, you know, it's interesting. We can live out potentials in our chart in a positive way without even meaning to sometimes. All right. And the other thing that I noticed, is that Donald Trump's solar arc directed Uranus. So arc directions are different from progressions in the sense that with progressions, you move a planet based on the degree for a day or year for a day principle. And with solar arc directions, you just move every planet. So each year, all the planets in your chart, all the points in your chart would move 1 degree forward. And arc-directed planets don't usually tend to show up until they are within 1 degree of a conjunction opposition, sometimes a square, but usually conjunction opposition. So they're kind of these really specific timing indicators in astrology. But when they show up, they will tend to show up big time. I mean, you'll definitely notice them. So Trump's arc-directed Uranus is now a third of a degree from exact conjunction with Mars in his chart, which is, you'll recall from last year, which is conjunct his ascendant and is in Leo and was definitely triggered by the August 21st eclipse. So kind of fascinating because a lot of the sort of meanings of this, which is a passing phenomenon, but they're definitely present in his temperament. So I studied Uranian astrology for a while back. It's a different way of looking at the charts. And I don't use it that often, but sometimes for things like this, it really kind of shows what the combination of planets will tend to indicate. So Mars Uranus, and this is from the combination of stellar influences by Reinhold Eberton. What Uranus, Mars conjunction tends to show is an extraordinary and unusual amount of energy made available for quite suddenly, urge for freedom and independence, argumentative disposition, inclination to contradict others, self-will and self-willed obstinacy, intolerance, urge for freedom, strong emotional tension, strains or stresses, obstinacy, again, brutal frankness, self-will and willfulness, biological correspondence, the rhythm of activity and the work of the heart, so, or an injury causing the loss of blood, the beginning of an operation. So the arc-directed Uranus conjunct natal Mars and conjunct his ascendant as well, this is really going to be triggered by the Aquarius solar eclipse in 2 weeks much more strongly. But I just have the feeling that we're going to start to see the signs of that at this eclipse, maybe even during the State of the Union. I mean, the guy does not look well, but my take has been from the beginning, you know, that he's going to resign. He won't be impeached, but he's going to resign due to health reasons. And I'll talk more about this pattern in the upcoming eclipse, but just be interesting to watch what's going on tonight. And, you know, again, it's not, the politicians aren't going to save us or destroy us, although they can definitely help destroy us and they can help save us. Right. But it's up to us. And so here's the call for us is to realize where we stepped into our inner divinity at this eclipse. And then, you know, we will also be shown where we can step it up again prior to the Aquarius eclipse at Chinese New Year. So hope you found this helpful. Hope you have a great experience of the eclipse. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Till then, this is DK Brainerd saying, may you go with the stars. For this crazy